is that Paul says, I press on. And even though he was in prison, he says, I'm going to press on. And we've looked at what he meant. And there's a portion there where we just all felt very much in agreement as we were looking at who's going to be preaching through this, that pressing on, forgetting the things that are behind and the things that God has for us in the future, that Miracle Life has this wonderful relationship with Rhema Zambia that meets here on campus. And our campus coordinator, Paul Simujanyombe, is going to be speaking to us today. And if you are, how many of you are Rhema students or Rhema grads? All right, so you know Paul very much. But he's going to share preach through that text, but also how Rhema Zambia helps that to come to pass in people's lives. And we trust it's going to be very, very encouraging to you. And so, Paul, we love you so much.
Thank you.
You are most, most welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Walker. He got my name right. So let's just clap for him. Yeah. All right. So my name is Simujanyombe. And I do believe Pastor Walker did a good job saying that name. It's not a very easy name to say. After all, when I was a child myself, I wanted to even change my surname from Simujanyombe to Mwemba because it was just too difficult for me to pronounce and to say. All right. Thank you so much to Pastors Walk and Haley. And I also want to say thank you so much, Miracle Life Family Church, for the love and support that you give to Rhema Bible Training Center. We are grateful that because of your support, we have been able to help 643 people discover their purpose, and we have equipped them. And next week, Saturday, we'll be unleashing or releasing another 117, all because of your love and your support towards Rhema Bible Training Center. And then I would also love to just recognize all the Rhema students who are here. We love you, and we are proud of who you've become. I know that there's a lot of you in here. You did raise your hands as Pastor Oka had mentioned, so I would not do that. All right, so today I will be continuing on in the series Pressing On, and I'll be focusing on forgetting the past. Before I get into the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, I also just want to share or let you know that my wife sent her love to you. I just became a father of a son 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, so my wife is at home and couldn't join us. But I believe that she was praying in the morning, and as she was with my son, he was also sending his love as he was fasting. So we send you love from my home. All right. Okay, so thank you very much. So let's quickly turn to the book of Philippians 3, verse 12. This is where we have been looking at the series Pressing On. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. I'll be reading from NKJV version. Note that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So the Apostle Paul here, in this passage of Scripture, as he talks about how that he has not yet attained, or not that he's already been perfected, but he presses on, he is not disputing or disregarding what he just boasted on in the above scriptures, which we saw Pastor Walker laying a foundation in the first session when he took this series, and the second when he was talking about the fact that our righteousness is by faith in Christ Jesus. That we are not righteous because of what we do. Our righteousness is not a product of our prayer and fasting. Our righteousness is by our faith in Christ Jesus. So in that regard, we are perfect before God. We have been redeemed, we've been sanctified, and we have been made the children of God. We are no longer sinners who are trying to get saved, but we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is not talking about our righteousness in the sense of perfection, in the sense of righteousness, but he is actually telling us something else, which I will be talking about later on. Paul is also trying to make us understand that salvation is not only about going to heaven, but he's trying to help us understand something greater than that. Because if salvation was only about us going to heaven, then it means that the very day we get saved, we should have all died so that we transition into heaven. But so there are three things that I want to look at from the passage of scripture that I just read today, which is the Philippians 3 verse 12 and verse 13. In the first part of my teaching, point one is that Paul helps us to see that salvation is neither an end or destination, but the beginning of a life journey. Salvation is neither an end or a beginning, but a life journey. Paul uses a Greek word attained in verse 12, which is translated into lambano, The word is translated into a verb, because lambano is a verb, which means it signifies that I have received something, but not only have I just received it, but I have attained that thing. I have that thing. I have possessed that thing. I hold on to that thing with every fiber of my being. It's the same word that is also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 12. That's the same word that Paul uses there when he talks about how that he's not yet arrived. He's not yet attained. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25. If you just stand with me there quickly. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an unperishable crown. Pastor Kondwan will come and will be talking about what we will attain or the prize that awaits us. And so this part of scripture that Paul is saying, they compete because they want to attain a prize which is perishable, reminds me of a time when the Zambia national soccer team won the match against Ivory Coast in 2012, when they became, for the first time, the African champions. So what happened was the Zambia national team did win the match whilst they were in the field, but the victory that they had attained was not just left in the playing field, but they were awarded with a trophy. That trophy that they were awarded was a significance, or rather it was a manifestation of the victory that had already taken place in the field. And so here when Paul says, not that I have attained, not that I have arrived or reached my destination, Paul is saying, yes, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but I need to come to a place where I manifest the character, the nature, and the personality of Christ Jesus. Because it is the manifestation of the character, personality of Christ Jesus, which then translates into the manifestation of the victory which I have attained by my righteousness in my spirit, or rather in my salvation, through my actions or my behavior. Because God's intention for us to be saved is not only so that we could go to heaven, like I said, but it is so that we can reveal Him here on earth. It is so that we can make Him known. It is so that we can reveal His nature, express His love. That's why there are scriptures in the Bible like Romans 5:5, which says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The purpose of the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts is so that we could be able to also share that love of God by manifesting the love, by manifesting God to this world. And so Paul is saying, I just don't end on salvation, but I understand that when I am saved, I am introduced to a life journey. If you look at the scriptures from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The word way in Greek is hodos, which means journey. So in short, Jesus is saying, I am the journey, I am the truth and the life. So when you find Jesus, you find the way of life. There is no other way for us believers except for the life that is in Christ Jesus. When I got saved, I got born again, I decided that after getting saved, I was going to go to my father because I was a nuisance. You know, I troubled my father so much. I troubled people in my community. I did things that were not supposed to be done. And so because of those things that I had done, the moment I got born again, I was so excited about what had happened to me. So I decided to go and tell my father that I was born again. And so when I got home, I found they were having dinner. And as I began to narrate my story of my salvation, my cousin, my young brother, was sitting right across the table where I was sitting. And when he heard me say, I've gotten born again, he chuckled so hard that the Nshima came out of his mouth. That's how troublesome I was and how people did not believe. And so to the glory of God, I didn't do this. To the glory of God, that cousin of mine got born again and is actually in the church right now. I didn't know that he's coming to church today. So he's there. He could testify of this report. I led him to the Lord later on. And right there he is in this church. And so you see, I went and I shared this joy with my father. And then I also decided to tell some of my friends. And people thought that I was lying. They thought that I was not saved. Some of them said, maybe he is sick and he's just taking a break. In Bemba, we used to say, for those who have been to Kitwe or who understand Bemba, we would say, Ale tusha kofye, meaning he's just resting, he's going to come back. But you know what? It was not a rest for me. Because for me, when I got saved, the life I was living, the way of life I was leading, the journey that I was on was a troublesome journey, even to myself. I tried to get myself born again by praying and fasting. I couldn't get saved. But the day that I found the Lord Jesus Christ, the day I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, instantly I was delivered from everything that was oppressing me and I became a new man. And I made it a point that I will live this freedom that I found in Christ Jesus. I will make scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 come true, that if any man be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and they have become new. So I lambanoed this new life. I lambanoed the freedom that I found in Christ Jesus and I began to live it out. I began to express it. I began to allow it to become a reality in my life. And so this is what we see when Paul says, not that I have attained. He's not contradicting himself that you haven't attained righteousness. He says, yes, we've attained righteousness, but there is much more. There is much more we need to press on into. Press on into the new life. Press on into the new person that you've become in Christ Jesus. If you read the passage of scripture from Ephesians 4 verse 17, Paul says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness and to work of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned so in Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is an active participation of the manifestation of our righteousness. That's what Paul is talking about. In 25 he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. It's okay to be angry, but do not sin. That's the new man. This is the new person. That's the thing that Paul is saying. I am pressing on towards this. And I want to encourage someone. Maybe you are born again, and as I read this scripture, you're beginning to realize that at some point you are walking in this path, but you're not walking in this path anymore. I am here to announce to you that it is possible. God can still give you capacity and ability to live that life that you had begun, which maybe you had set aside. That's why we are teaching on pressing on. So he says, let him who stole steal no longer. People say that, oh, so I can steal so that I can be able to give for a good cause. Paul is saying, let him who stole steal no more. Why is he saying, let him who stole Still no more. He says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for what is good, that he may have something to give he who has need. So we cannot justify stealing in the name of giving. Good cannot produce bad cannot produce good. It's not possible. You cannot steal and say, I'm stealing so that I can help people. It's not of our nature. Those are things we must be pressing out of and pressing into this kind of life. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification? But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace on the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of the Holy Spirit. You could continue to read that scripture. But brethren, Paul is telling us that salvation is not a destination, but it is an introduction to a life of God. The second part that we see Paul talking about in this passage of scripture is that salvation ushers us into our ministry, purpose, or calling. Jesus is not only our Savior, but He is Lord. When we get saved, we become the property of God, and Jesus becomes the landlord of our lives. We no longer own ourselves, we belong to God. Thus, we cannot just do whatever that we want, because our lives now belong to God. He has invested His life in us. And by Him investing His life in us, He is calling us to His way of life, and He gives us an assignment. There is a calling on each and every one of us that are seated in here. There is a ministry on each and every one of us that is seated here. There is a mission on each and every one of us that are seated here. It is not, ministry is not just about standing on the pulpit and preaching the word like I'm doing, but ministry is using your gifts to advance the kingdom of God. Some of you here are great musicians, great businessmen. Some of you are great accountants, great auditors. Those things that God has given you, yes, you should use them to enrich yourself, because you need to feed, you need to take care of your family. But more so, God wants you to use that for the glory of His kingdom. And this is why at Rhema, we say we help people to discover their God-given purpose, and we equip them to fulfill it. You see, before I came to Rhema, as a young boy, way back, I used to do business. I used to do quite a number of things. I used to even supply water and ice cubes at a market. And so I started doing business when I was quite young. So when I got saved, the very first thing that happened to me, because I was introduced to a wrong kind of doctrine, I decided to stop doing business. I stopped doing anything, and I was just sitting reading the Bible. And so as I was just sitting reading the Bible, I came to Lusaka to school, because why I chose Cavendish University as a place to study from. And the reason I chose Cavendish as a place to study from was because I didn't want to come to school. And at the same time, I chose Cavendish so that my father could fail to pay for my tuition fees. Because looking at the cost of the tuition fees, I thought, he's going to fail. And so I will choose this school, but I was shocked that he paid through all the way to the end of my school. And so I came here to Lusaka, visited this church one day, and coming from Kitwe, the Copper Belt, I had never seen a church that is as glamorous as this one, that's as big as this one. I looked at the car park, and because I had been to Manda Hill for the first time, I had been to many different places for the first time, I looked at this place and I thought, they have built this church like a mall. And so the amazement led me to see and think, I need to know what that man and that woman know or they have, so that I can be able to do the things that they have done. So after the service, they called for the care team to pray for people, and I said, yes, this is my opportunity. I didn't come to be prayed for here, because I heard they said they are praying for people. So I thought he could impart some anointing on me. So I ran to him so that I can be able to do the work that God called me to do, which I believed, and I was trying to figure out, but to the extent to which I thought they had done it. And so he told me to say, do you know that they are just as, the people standing there are just as anointed as I am, and they can pray for you. However, we are going to do something. Instead, why don't you sign up to come to Rhema? Because when you come to Rhema, you're going to gain wisdom which men have gathered for 50 years. You gain that wisdom in 2 years. I heeded to that counsel, and I decided to enroll for Rhema Bible Training Center. My life, I enrolled, and my life instantly began to change. At the time I was enrolling at Rhema, I was being kept by my young sister, and I was believing God for marriage. I was in faith for marriage. And when I was in class doing personal growth and development, our instructor said, if you're still being kept by your parents, you're still a child. Those words hurt me so much that I decided to shift and leave my sister's house. And I moved into Ngombe. Coming from Nkana East, those who've been to Kito, you understand and know where Nkana East is. I chose to go and stay in Ngombe because the growth hurt me so much. And I realized that I've been stopping myself from moving forward. I was believing God for marriage. But the Bible says that a man shall leave his father's house and cleave to his own wife. Where was I going to take my wife if I was being kept in my father's house? There is no living there, so they can't be cleaving. So I needed to leave for me to cleave. And that's how come I began to see change in my life. While it's at Rhema, I even got a proper understanding that those giftings within me of doing business, you know, the passions I had, were God's desire for me to use them both for the kingdom and for myself. And so I began to use those giftings. I began to use those skills to enrich myself. Yes, I was using them for the kingdom of God, like I am doing right now. But I also used them to make money. I even continued doing business. Why? I was helped to understand that there is no need for you to be in ministry full time if the ministry doesn't need you to be there full time. That wisdom helped me on making good and better decisions. And so, some of you, you are here. You know, there's a calling over your life. Maybe you even be saying, I feel the Lord has called me to do something. Well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? That's something that you've been feeling that the Lord has been tagging on your heart. When are you going to act on it? You don't have to wait any longer to act on that. Today is the day that you act on that. Today is the day that you decide that I will discover my purpose. I will be equipped to fulfill my purpose. And I will go to heaven one day knowing that I have done well. And Jesus will receive me and say, well done, faithful servant. I will be received by the Lord Jesus in heaven clapping because I have done the will of the Father that I was called to fulfill. It's the main reason why. You know, we say this, coming to Rhema, a study has been done, that coming to Rhema is as good as you doing 16 years, consistent 16 years attendance of church. So, if you are 30 right now, and you've been coming to church, are you going to wait until you are 46 before you discover your purpose? Rhema helps you to cut short the process. Or rather, it's not a shortcut, but it helps you to quickly discover your purpose and equip you to fulfill it. That's why when you come to Rhema, I grew in one class sitting. It didn't take me 1 month to grow. Just one class sitting, my life changed. My life transformed, and I became a different and a better man. Also, I would encourage you, take advantage of other growth opportunities or growth avenues that the church has, such as School for Life. You know, take advantage of those. Grow. As we grow, we begin to discover who we are in Christ. Then we can be able to fulfill our purpose. God has called you for a purpose, and He wants you to fulfill your purpose. Amen. The third thing, let me just read some scriptures to that effect. Paul uses the word here in verse 12, where he says, not that I have attained, he's actually saying, not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus has laid hold of me. So that Greek word where he says that he has laid hold of me is called katalambano, which means to apprehend with the process of appropriating. To receive something with the process of putting it to effect. If you read this scripture in verse 12 from the Passion Translation, it says this, I admit that I have not yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into His abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. Beloved, God wants you to discover your purpose. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. Each one of us has been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We have all been called into ministry, but not all of us are to preach in front like me, but the giftings God has given us are for the sake of the kingdom of God. The third point or the third part that we see from this scripture is from verse 13. So in verse 13, we see Paul bringing in another thing, which is salvation is fully experienced by forgetting the past. Our salvation is fully experienced by forgetting the past. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are ahead." We cannot experience the fullness of our joy or being in Christ Jesus. Last week, Pastor Benjamin was talking about knowing Christ. The purpose of knowing Jesus is so that we can know who we are to grow into, how we are to grow into Him. And so Paul is saying, I forget who I was outside Christ Jesus and I press on to who I am in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling us that we need to let go of old traditions that we were taught. Things that we were taught that were true, which are not true. Things such as the reason why you are not employed is because there's a generational curse over you. When the Bible says if any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. Thus God is not punishing you for the sins of your forefathers. The Bible doesn't tell us that God is teaching us a lesson when we have sickness in our body. Those are the things we need to let go of. We need to let go of doctrines that say that I am demon possessed and it's the reason why I cannot live right. The Bible says if he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Paul is encouraging us to let go of false doctrines, things that we were taught that it's by prayer and fasting that I become a child of God. Let go of those things. No one can drive a vehicle looking in the rearview mirror and expect not to have an accident. The reason why many Christians are having issues is because they are using the past trying to live the new life. Jesus himself said you cannot get old wineskins. You cannot put new wine in old wineskins. There is need for us to let go of the past. Let go of who we were before we came into Christ Jesus. We need to forget the teachings of our forefathers, the teachings, even the traditions that say women are inferior to men. We need to let go of those things for us to experience who we are in Christ Jesus. As I conclude, three things that I've mentioned today, which I will reemphasize, is that number one, salvation is not an end. Salvation is an introduction into a life journey. We don't settle on just the fact that I have received Jesus as my personal Savior, but we are to live out the new man that we have become in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." The Greek word of everlasting life is Zoe, which means the God kind of life. So we are to embrace the new life that we have now received in Christ and let go of the old life. We are to grow in the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that I've mentioned is the fact that we all have a ministry over our lives. God has called each and every one of us to fulfill a ministry, to fulfill our purpose and our callings. The giftings which are in us are for the purpose of the advancement of the kingdom of God. Yes, God wants you to use your gifts to make money and take care of your family, but he wants you to use them in his kingdom. For some of us, it will take having to start serving in church by ushering. Yes, there are things you do out there. Yes, we give into the church, but there comes a time where we also serve in the church. We give of ourselves to the church. Some of us have got a passion for children. We could serve in the children's ministry. Some of us have got a passion to see that there is order in the church. We could volunteer in the church. That is us using the gifts that God has given us. And then the third thing that I've mentioned is that we need to forget our past. Salvation, for us to experience the fullness of salvation, we are to forget the past. The term, the word Paul uses, forget, It simply means not really acting as though the information is not there, but it is recognizing that there is information that you have about marriage, which is not consistent with the Word of God, but you choose not to act on that information, and you choose to act on what the Word of God says. That there is information concerning how to raise children, that children are to be raised by the TV, the church, and the maid. But you choose not to act on that information, but you choose to act on the information of the Word of God, which says, train up a child in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they may not depart the way of the Lord. Information that has told us that the pastor is the only one who's anointed to have access to God through prayer, but you understanding that I have the same access as the pastor to pray to God and God can hear me. Those are the things we need to forget. We need to forget, some of us, it could be even forgetting our achievements, forgetting our promotions, and looking forward into the glorious things that the Lord Jesus Christ has received and attained for us. Beloved, for some of you, part of this could be that you need to forget the thought that going to Rhema is only for people that are called into full-time ministry or pastors. But understanding that going to Rhema is you doing yourself a favor by choosing to grow so that you can fulfill your purpose. That one day when you stand before the Master, God will say, well done, faithful servant. That you will be a servant who, when you've gone to the Master, you would have gone empty and you have not carried anything that the Master had put on the inside of you. Brethren, Jesus will hold us accountable of this righteousness that He has given us. Not to send us to hell, but for how we have used it. And so therefore, I would encourage even some parents here, that if I look up myself, had I been to Rhema at a very young age, I would have not made some of the decisions that I made. And so I would encourage some parents that, you know what, if your child has just finished secondary school, grade 12, it's good for you to send your child to Rhema. Because when you send them to Rhema, you will help your child to discover their purpose while they are young, such that as they are going to university, they will be going to university knowing exactly who they are, whose they are, and you will not regret it. For those of you who would want to know, we have a table out there at the Rhema table. And so I encourage you, go and buy a form. Visit the Rhema table today. Make a decision because you have a purpose. There is a calling over your life. Would you please just bow your heads with me? And I want to just encourage someone here. Maybe you are here and you're saying, I want to experience the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus. I want to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. I want to have a relationship with the Father. I want to walk on this life journey of the believers or those who are saved. You've never been able to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. I want to go on a journey with God. I want to have a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have discovered that I need God. And I have actually been looking for God, but I've never found Him. You know, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how far you have gone. God has the capacity to get you saved. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus had done for you on the cross. So if you want to get born again, just raise your hand. Do not be ashamed. Don't let shame or anything stop you from having an encounter with Jesus Christ for you to go on a journey with God. If you're here, just raise your hand. Maybe you are here and you're saying, I was saved. I had begun this life journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I have drifted. I remained on the path of just being born again. And so I have not grown in the journey of who I am in Christ Jesus. I have not progressed. I am just where I was. And you want to come back to the Father. The Father says, come back. His hands are wide open. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Just lift the... Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Raise your hand with confidence, knowing that the Father is not condemning you, but He's receiving you. Thank you so much. I see that hand. He's not condemning you, but He's receiving you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Thank you so much. I see that hand. He wants you to come back home. He cares about you. He laid His life on the cross for your sake. He loves you so much. I'm going to give you one last chance. If you are here, you want to have a relationship with Jesus, or you want your relationship to be restored, just raise up your hand. All right, I'll just ask the rest of the church to be upstanding. for those of you who gave your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would ask you to just get up from your seats, carry your Bibles, carry everything that you came with, and come to the front here so that we can pray with you. We can celebrate with you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Let's just clap for them, church, and appreciate them. Carry your belongings, get your Bible, get everything that you came with, and come to the front. We want to celebrate with you. We want to take joy in what the Lord has done in your life. Just face me, please. All right. So I will not come down as a result of the current circumstances that we are going through. But I will pray with you from here. All right. So you see, when you see this Bible and I give it to you, what do? You receive it, right? So the same way with our salvation, we receive Jesus. And when you receive Him, we receive eternal life. We receive the very life of God. We get on a journey that I was just talking about. So just raise your hands and receive Jesus today. Pray with me. Say, God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Lord, God in heaven, I confess my sins today and I receive Jesus as my personal Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. I believe that Jesus shed His blood that I may be saved. I receive Your salvation. I am born again. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Would just please follow my brother. He's going to lead you to a place of prayer where we just pray with you. God bless you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't God good? We are pressing on in Jesus' name. You can have a seat where you are. There's just a few things that we want to do before we go. One of those is the regular tithes and offerings for Miracle Life. As you know, we're not passing out any buckets right now just to keep us safe.